That's how you want to play it, old man? No dessert? Oh, sure. We'll eat our dinner right after you eat this.
Welcome to the 250. I'm Danielle, and I'm here with two lovely co-hosts.
We're lovely.
Introduce yourself.
I'm Daniel.
I'm Erica. I haven't been on the 250 in such a long time.
Welcome back.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, it's been weird. We had the crew together. When was the last movie we watched together?
Was it
Million Dollar Baby?
So long ago.
The last time I also cried during the movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Million Dollar Baby, then it was Dark Knight Trilogy, and then...
Oh, yeah.
What did we watch last?
Then it was... Then we did
Donnie Darko.
Yeah, but I did Wall-E before that.
Yeah. All right, well, we're back with another Pixar movie.
Yeah, but which one
Erica
is it?
Is going to...
I have a suspense list.
Oh, I miss these so much.
One prepubescent teenage girl. Five emotional states. One white dude at a startup. One conglomerate dolphin cat elephant cotton candy outside nougat filled imaginary friend.
He cries candy.
If you couldn't guess from that just really wonderful list, we watched Inside Out.
Inside Out.
Woo!
It was so good, guys.
It's a great movie.
It's a very good movie.
Yeah, all of us have seen it, but we all really like it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
We have a trend of, like, the movies that we love are all Pixar animated films.
That's true. That's
so
true.
Nothing about our maturity level.
Yeah, there are very few Pixar movies that I don't like.
Cars. Cars 2.
Planes. I like
Planes.
But not a Pixar movie. Not a Pixar movie.
What do you mean?
Really?
They're both just Disney movies.
Cars
is a Pixar movie. Cars 2 is a Pixar movie. Planes is not.
Even though it's in the same universe as
Correct.
Cars? That seems dumb. Illegal.
No, it's made by Pixar. It's like, the intellectual property is all like the same. It's all in but Disney. They're just like, Pixar didn't want to make a movie.
Yeah,
Disney
Pixar was like, nah.
No, and Disney was like, well, we realize that we can make a ton of money off this and merchandising, so we're just going to make it.
I don't see it.
And Pixar was like, yeah, you do you. And that's why Disney made it. And they're like, wow, this is a crappy movie. And it's like, yeah, but it made a bunch of money. Also, we sold a bunch of crap.
So...
Planes with eyeballs. That just does not seem appealing to me.
That was a show. Wasn't it a show?
There's been a lot of things. Like, they made Mater into, like...
Mater's Tall Tales?
Correct.
Yeah.
She knows.
Yeah, you know. You're still up on your pop culture, Danielle.
Okay.
Why is it whenever I compliment you, I have to use my, like,
because you're not
voice?
Really complimenting me, Daniel.
Oh, no. Bye. I don't want to be here.
All right. So, I can speak. Anyway, we're going to do a little plot synopsis.
Ooh.
IMDb plot synopsis. Are they good? Who knows?
Synopsisize the plot. Let's do it.
Synopsis?
Yeah, let's do it. So we have a couple from some IMDb users. This one comes from JWelch5742.
Sweet.
I think I've read a plot synopsis by this person before, but we'll see. Riley is a happy, hockey-loving, 11-year-old Midwestern girl. But her world turns upside down when she and her parents move to San Francisco. Riley's emotions, led by Joy, try to guide her through this difficult, life-changing event. However, the stress of the movie brings sadness to the forefront. When joy and sadness are inadvertently swept into the far reaches of Riley's mind, the only emotions left in headquarters are anger, fear, and disgust.
I have two things about this.
Okay.
One, they crammed way too many descriptive words into Riley. Like, split it up in two sentences.
Second, happy hockey looking 11-year-old Midwestern girl.
Second,
I did not mean to.
Why is it that plot synopses always use the word inadvertently? Everything's always inadvertently.
Well, yeah, there's always a twist, and it's like
I feel
a good
like
word.
The setup to a lot of movies is just a lot of happenstance. Like,
well,
oh,
yeah,
oh no!
No, that's traditional storytelling. It's like situation, big thing happens that changes situation.
Yeah. But it happens.
Attempt to return to the attempt to return to original situation and like some sort of lesson.
Yeah,
that's a very traditional story structure. My problem with this plot synopsis is that it doesn't actually say what the movie is.
It focuses more on like the fact that anger, fear, and disgust are in the headquarters rather than joy is outside of the headquarters.
Right.
And
it
what
is
she's
a
trying to do and get home.
Driven synopsis. It is not plot driven. It is character driven.
True. True.
Like,
yeah.
That's
it's
not what
it
I
is,
want in a plot synopsis.
Right. But it doesn't even describe the characters really. It just like says that the characters are there.
Well, I mean, I feel like you can like infer, like, joy.
Yeah. Oh, okay, fine.
And sadness.
I don't know what they're like at all.
I have no emotion.
Joy sounds like a real jerk.
Well,
she is.
All right, well, we'll get there when we get there. Here's the second one.
Okay.
This one's written by a user named Anonymous.
Clever.
God, they're actually branching out into IMDb plot synopsis.
Oh, no, that's not what I meant. I'm pretty sure this is just a person who, like, didn't actually sign in. By guest. After young Riley is uprooted from her Midwest life and moved to San Francisco, her emotions, joy, fear, anger, disgust, and sadness, conflict on how best to navigate a new city, house, and school.
That's better.
I don't like it.
That's better, but it used the wrong words as verbs. Like, conflict as a verb is not good. We conflicted.
I didn't know we were being grammar Nazis on this podcast.
No,
jeez.
Like, okay, Daniel.
Like, would you be better if it just said argue? Like,
yeah.
Argue on how best to navigate
Clash.
A new city.
But,
Clash?
Like, do you think Anonymous was, like, wrote this and was like, oh, I should revise?
Well, look, if you're publishing this for the public.
It's like a step above a YouTube comment. Like,
yeah, anonymous IMDb page.
These are plot summaries. These are people who are like, we love this movie. We want to, like, give something to the world.
We're
serve as a resource for people,
okay,
like, trying to watch this movie.
Chill. It's
you guys
like two steps above a YouTube comment.
I'm sure,
like,
we are yelling.
Same thoughts.
Oh, sorry.
We're
topping
out.
We're topping out so bad.
God. I can't help it. I'm just so excited.
Really sorry, John Block.
So, wow.
Nah, screw
podcast
you, John.
Editor. Okay. So, wait. So, which one did you like better?
I liked the first one
better. I like the first one better, too.
Yeah.
Like, even though I didn't really like the first one, I just thought, like, the second one leaves lots to be desired.
Yeah.
And it is one of those one-sentence summaries, which are usually good, but, like, a one-sentence summary has to do a little bit more.
Yeah.
Just because it's one sentence doesn't mean you can't do anything.
Cool.
Yeah, man. That's what I'm all about.
Now you know from the expert, Daniel Varghese, how to write a plot synopsis.
Thank you very much.
Also, the first one, right?
Jay Welch. Oh, yeah. This person has written 470 plot summaries on
That's
IMDb.
Insane.
That's
insane.
That must be a wide spread of genres that he's covering.
A wide spread of genres and, like, a very large time commitment.
Also,
like, is that what you do in your spare time?
Man, now
maybe.
I really want to LinkedIn stalk him and, like, figure out what he does.
Right. Jay Welch 5742.
You think he puts that on his LinkedIn?
IMDb plot,
you know what?
Synopsisizer.
Maybe it's someone
Synopsisizer.
But if there was anyone we knew who would write a bunch of IMDb plot summaries, it'd be Graham, right?
It would definitely be Graham.
Oh, it'd be so Graham.
Maybe or
Graham
someone's
is
doing it
1,000 times.
Yeah. Definitely Graham.
All right, back to the movie.
Back to the movie.
Yeah, okay. So, I figure we could start this by picking our favorite emotion from the movie.
Ooh,
oh, I like that.
Sure, okay. I will want to go not first.
Well, I asked the question, so Erica,
I guess I'm first this time. Man, I need more time to think about this than the half second I just got, so I'm going to talk
fine. Just go
until
with your
I
emotions.
Decide.
Yeah.
Go with your emotions.
Oh, yeah, go with your gut.
I like sadness. I think she's hilarious. I think she is the funniest character.
What was your favorite sadness line?
Oh, man. I just like when she's being dragged on the floor and she's like, just give me a few more hours. She has so many good lines.
Yeah.
Like, all of them are just really clever, and the animation matches the voice so well,
mm-hmm.
I thought.
Yeah.
And, like, the thing I love about all the emotions is their physicality is so good,
yeah.
and it makes so much sense. Like,
yeah.
fear is this stringing little dude with his little hair thing that pops, and then anger is, like, the stout, mean
little
always reading the
bundle.
Newspaper.
Yeah.
I love the newspapers.
It's so good. Anyway, so yes, sadness would be my favorite because of her funny lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's played by, what's her name? Oh.
Phyllis.
Her name's actually Phyllis.
Yeah.
And then her name is Phyllis in The Office.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's actually, in The Office, like, a lot
so
of them,
fitting.
Their names are actually just, like, their names.
That's great.
Like, Angela.
It's just
Angela. Is Angela. Oscar is Oscar. It's like.
It's, makes it easier for an actor.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just her voice, though, and I love it.
Oh, she, her voice, yeah, we'll talk about voice acting.
In a bit, but okay.
My favorite character in the movie, my favorite emotion in the movie, I think, is fear.
I was going to say.
I think Bill Hader does an amazing job with it. And the scene where he's watching the dreams is, I think, one of the funniest scenes. Like, his reactions to it and him being like, oh, the right, like, that's like a direction.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that is, like, the funny, that's, like, exactly my kind of humor.
Yeah.
Like, the making fun of, the movie within the movie with I like oh so meta so humor. Good yeah and he and like Erica said, his characterization of just like the stringy dude who's like all out there and doesn't know what he's doing, it's so fun.
Yeah,
love it.
I was gonna say also say Fear because of Bill Hader, but love pick Bill
a
new Hader.
One pick a different
I,
one
let me
let her live her life
let
Daniel
me live my life. Okay, no, I do love Bill Hader and his I don't know, his voice is just so like nice. He sounds so fun just mm-hmm. in real life Bill Hader sounds great.
Bill Hader does sound great.
Yeah, but if I had to pick a second one, I would just say maybe Disgust, just because I love Mindy Kaling.
Sure. Yeah,
Mindy Kaling's my fave.
I will also say that I love the animation on all of the in all of the emotions, just like the kind of like sparkly quality,
the graininess to it.
The graininess and kind of fuzziness they all have. I think it's so cool, and it's like you notice it when you look really closely at them, but you don't notice it if you're just kind of watching and seeing them. I love that. I think that's so clever, and it's such a nice way to kind of gesture to the fact that they're, like, metaphors for things that aren't solid.
Oh, yeah, totally. One of the things that we talked about when we were talking about WALL-E is just character design. We talked really long about character design, because in WALL-E, like, it's very intentional and very cool. And the same thing is true in these movies. Mm-hmm. In this movie, like, each of the characters is built, like, you were, like, Erica, you were talking about earlier, how each of the characters is constructed to, you know, not only look like their emotion they represent, like fear is all stringy and weird, and anger is just this like blob, the solid blob who like literally blows his top off, and it's like has fire flying out of
sadness,
his
sadness just like
sadness looks like a lump, like
she's just a lump.
And then Joy is like skatey and has like the flowy dress,
and she's very like solid in her movements and stuff.
Oh yeah, exactly. And so
very sure of herself.
They're all so intentional and so cool.
I love how they model each character off of a particular very basic shape and use a primary to a little bit less than primary color.
Right.
You know, they use very clear, bright colors. They use very intense, like, Anger is a red square. Like, that is what he is. Like, if you were to simplify him down to a shape, not Agnes, Sadness. I don't know why I keep on wanting to call her Agnes.
Agnes?
Sadness is like a teardrop in blue.
Yeah.
I just think it's
and
so clever.
And they even
clever.
Do that, like,
they do
in the abstraction thing.
Yeah,
like,
it's
Joy's
so
like a
good.
Like a
Yeah. Like,
thing,
Joy becomes
like
a star.
A star.
Yeah, you can tell that the entire kind of animation process was very intentional to
That's
be,
really
like,
cool.
Very simple shapes. And then they're super recognizable, right? So there's that time when you go into the truck driver's head, and there are all these, like, little anger people, but they're all in different colors.
Right.
And you're like, oh, I know that's anger because I know the shape and the color of anger.
Right.
So it was just a very clever way to make it very kind of primary and immediate.
Yeah.
Ugh. Pixar's got great animation.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. It is kind of their strong suit. This movie is beautiful.
Yeah.
Just the scenes.
It's so nice to watch.
Yeah. Like, the moments where, like, everything's cataclysmic, like, when those the rows of memories are just falling, and the orbs of different colors are just piling down. Oh, so
very
good
pretty.
To look at. Ugh.
To change the subject, I wanted to talk about the relationship between Joy and Sadness in the movie.
Sure.
And just, because, like, throughout the entire movie, we were like, we hate Joy, kind of,
she's
a little
so
bit.
Mean.
She's so mean. Okay.
Right.
Erica and I were.
Yeah.
Daniel was a little, Joy's a little mean, but, like, thinking about it makes sense. Like, when you, like, try and force yourself to be happy, and you just kind of, like, shove Sadness, like,
literally
down
into a chalk circle.
Yeah.
There's a negative aspect of every emotion. Like, that's the point. Like, Joy is great when she's, like, at the beginning of the movie, when they're all like, we don't know what to do, and Joy's like, look, this will make, like, Riley feel better. Like, she knows what she's doing, and she does what's right, but, like, you know, there's a time and a place for everything, and when, like, Bing Bong is really upset, like, you don't make faces at him.
R.I.P.
Yeah, and that's, like, the idea. The idea is there's emotional appropriateness, and so we can't just be like, Joy's such a dick.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's like, her being a dick is part of the emotional progression of Riley over the course of the movie.
Uh-huh.
And so I think it's fair that at the beginning and throughout, you know, I'd say like 2/3 of the movie, we're kind of like, like, I don't totally love Joy.
Yeah.
Because Riley is in that spot, that kind of prepubescent / pubescent spot where all of the emotions are very tense and very intense.
And everything's supposed to be like, cut
yes,
and dry
and everything, and even the way that children are taught is to be very ordered and categorized, etc. And it's not really until, I actually think that this could probably be fast-forwarded, like, the events that unfold could probably happen, like, 3 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just feel like you don't really realize the gray areas of things until middle to end of high school / college, really.
Well, but I guess, like, it doesn't mean they don't exist the whole time.
Oh, no, I completely agree, but I don't know. I feel like that would have... lined up a little bit more with kind of the gray areas of emotion. Mm-hmm. And I mean, maybe it is like a quote-unquote subconscious thing where Riley doesn't totally realize it, because we don't have any... It was interesting, we don't actually have any reflection of Riley onto her emotions. You only have the emotions outward onto Riley, which I thought was interesting. So maybe if they do, like, college Riley, we'll get some really sweet, like...
meditative
Riley. Like, I see everything. But,
Like, wow, I am really too happy.
But I think that the frustration with Joy could be seen as intentional, because you're supposed to see these separate emotions as extremely intense and frantic and kind of trying to place themselves into a character's life. And it's not really until you realize, as people realize, that sad things happen and that's okay, because also they can be happy, that everything kind of coalesces into a more level, I think. Yeah. I think at the end, like, everything is a lot more level.
Yeah, because, and also at the end, like, her core memories are, like, mixed now. It's not just, like, one, like, solid joy emotion or one sad emotion. It's, like, blue and yellow and, like, red and yellow? Yeah.
I was trying to think what a joyful, angry emotion would be.
There's a Vox article. I will pull it up. Keep
joyful
talking.
Joyful anger.
Yeah, and it was of her playing hockey, from what I remember.
Oh, because you got to be fiery, right? You got to be aggressive.
But being fiery and being angry seem different.
Well, I guess like it comes from the same
place. I guess if
place,
you're fiery,
right?
You are angry.
Okay,
and happy.
So Vox said the combination of joy and anger was righteousness.
Righteousness?
Oh, righteousness. Interesting.
Yeah.
So it's like you feel good about being mad about something because you think you're correct.
Yeah.
Like when the opinions go to the facts bucket.
That was great. There's so many just like fun jokes in this movie.
Yeah, this movie is just awash with like crazy visual gags. Yeah. And, like,
Danielle and
things.
I were like drooling at the French fry forest.
Oh, yeah.
Imagination
Land.
Oh,
yeah.
It looks so good.
It looks so good. And the moment where she like uses one as a pole vault and then like licks her fingers because there's salt on it. Ah, I just love it.
The thing I love about Pixar is they pay so much attention. I guess you have to. Also, you have a huge animation team and you're Pixar. But they pay so much attention to the little tiny details.
They do, like, and you can just tell, like, the people, like, making the movie, like, know their, like, movie stuff as well. Like, the picture, one of the posters in, like, the Dream production studio was, like, a copy of the post. It's like the I'm falling into a pit or whatever. It's a copy of the Vertigo poster.
Oh,
and then they make a Chinatown joke, which like all of like 12 like adults in the theater would get. So kids would just be like, I don't know.
Wait, what? That joke went.
Okay, so there's a movie called Chinatown. It's a Jack Nicholson noir movie called Chinatown. It's about like water and it's like.
Well, we know how I feel about Jack Nicholson.
He's not a great dude. Anyway, so but at the end of the movie, like all this tragic stuff happens and Jack Nicholson's all torn up about it, and he's a police officer, and one of his police officer friends comes over and he's like, forget it, Jake, it's Chinatown. And so during Inside Out, she like kills another cloud, which is like horrifying.
Yeah,
but
they just run through characters and they disappear.
No, Bing Bong like ruins this guy's house and the guy gets pissed and Bing Bong's just like, just die.
literally kills him.
And so Joy runs through another cloud and the police officer's like, hey, and then his like partner's like, forget it, Jake, it's Cloud Town. Which is like great, because it's so unexpected. Because like in a Pixar movie, you're going to reference Chinatown. Like, what are you?
Yeah. That is we always say like the hallmark of Pixar movies is that they play to every audience.
Yeah.
Like, and they make so many intertextual references.
Oh, of course, yeah. And this is, they just do it so well. And it's so integrated and like kind of throwaway and not important, but also like present.
You like very much appreciate it.
Yeah, and it strikes that perfect balance because like too much of that gets really annoying.
Yeah.
It's like the when they incorporate all the Apple sounds into things. In Wally, they do the
Microsoft sound
for the Mac on. It's because Steve Jobs started Pixar.
Yeah.
In this one, they have the texting tap sound when they're creating Riley's ideal boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, but too much of that is bad. That's why Las Vegas is gross. Postmodernism. Just threw some film theory in. Las Vegas is like the like the ideal postmodern city, and postmodernism is a lot of like referential.
Right.
But it's like gross and gaudy, it's too much.
Hyper
postmodernism.
Yeah, I think Las Vegas is awful.
Yay,
I have never been to Las Vegas.
It's not.
I went when I was 8.
I went when I was like 15. Like, just not the right time.
No,
also,
it's
like,
not.
I don't think I
would go once just for the.
I just thought it was so
laughs.
Sad. I was
it
just,
is
like,
sad.
Walking
it's
around
like smoke
during
everywhere.
The day. Yeah, you're right. It's smoky everywhere. Yeah. A bunch of people like.
But like Las Vegas is definitely not for the day. Is the thing.
True. It's. But I was also 15.
Yeah. So what were you gonna do?
Right.
Well, you know, for your birthday, we could just...
Oh, yeah, Danielle!
Vegas, March 22nd!
Oh, you just announced your birthday in public.
Well, it's fine. Maybe I'll get gifts.
Maybe you'll get your identity stolen!
Speaking of emotional identity...
Yeah, we just digress real far. Okay. All right. So, I feel like we should just pour one out for the homie Bing Bong.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, I cried. I literally
MVP
cried.
MVP award goes to Bing Bong.
I cried.
Sacrifices himself for the good
in
of
the theater.
Of the good of Riley.
I have an idea. Let's talk about Bing Bong in the context of how Pixar ramps up emotional tension to the point where I cried like a child.
Literal ramp!
Literal ramp. Oh.
I saw this movie in theaters, and I like, just, oh, when he's like, let's try one more time, I was like, no,
you're like,
you
oh,
know
no.
that you're gonna sacrifice yourself, and then the little piano tune comes in.
Oh,
man, Alan Menken did this, right?
Alan,
I think so. Yeah,
we should check. But either way, whoever's doing the music on this is following
MVP.
Perfect Pixar formula
oh, yeah.
of like a simple little piano
oh,
ditty,
just in
and
your
then
heart.
It just comes back,
yeah.
and it happens at the beginning when it's really pretty, and then it slows down at the sad
no.
part.
Michael
and
Michael Giacchino.
That's the guy who
oh,
did the one for.
He's
Up.
Great.
He's
yeah,
awesome.
He's
yeah, Alan Menken does a lot of their musicals.
He does like Little Mermaid, Aladdin, all that jazz.
Yeah,
and he does them for stage too.
Yeah.
Well, either way,
Michael.
I think the combination, let's just think about the emotional high points of this and how Pixar does it, because I'm so interested in this. Just
What are your emotional high points? The Bing
well,
Bong one
maybe
is definitely
low point.
One.
The Bing Pong. The Bing,
Bing Pong.
Bing, Bing Pong?
Bing Pong. That sounds like a fun game.
Bing Bong.
The, the Bing Bong scene where he launches Joy to freedom is
yeah.
just heart-wrenching. And they do the music. They also do
the,
Bing Bong having like a cute little catchphrase that just kind of like, there's a little violin flurry and he says that and you're like, oh my
and
god.
Then, oh, and then the whole time when Joy just like doesn't recognize that he
and we're just
that.
Like, Joy,
yeah.
you're the worst.
No, she's not the worst. Why would she notice?
I mean,
he
she
was there until the very end,
the
and she was
so relies on it. But...
yeah,
oh,
well,
man.
And I also like the other moment with Bing Bong is like we talked about when he was talking to Sadness, like when Sadness was talking to him and trying to make him feel better.
Yeah,
and was like, man, I get it, bro. and he was like, yeah, it's not great. And, but the music was like really dramatic and great too.
I love the way they deal with imagination in this movie,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
Like, Bing Bong is just like, I'm this composite of weird things. Also, I'm nougat filled and made of cotton candy and cry candy. And you're like, that's exactly what 5-year-old me would imagine
yeah,
yeah.
as an imaginary friend.
Yeah,
and then they have that vault that they go into.
Mm-hmm.
The what is it called?
The abstraction
vault or whatever?
Yeah, and they turn it on and they're, yeah.
And they slowly turn into flat shapes.
Yeah, what were the stages? Oh. The first stages?
It was like disassociation or something?
And then
oh, yeah.
decomposition.
Yeah.
And then...
No, it was... what's it called?
I don't know.
God, it's... what does Derrida do? He does deconstructionism.
Girl,
right?
What?
I
art?
Art.
No, it was they turn into funny abstract shapes.
Right.
And then... The visual gag in that is so clever because they're like, guys, fall on your face.
Fall on your face,
and
we'll
falling
get
on your face turns them into a line and then they can escape. It's so
yeah.
clever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
yeah, it was really great. Oh, so fun.
I would
like,
love
I
to
can't fit.
I would love to know how they break up the animations.
Like who does what?
Yeah, like do people work on scenes? Do people work on characters or lighting?
Mm.
I'd be really interested to see how the teams work because I feel like this entire movie goes together. So nicely, but they're also very kind of like stylized parts.
Right.
That makes sense.
No, totally.
I'm looking at Pixar reviews, and some the first one is one of the worst and boring Disney films. Period.
Oh well, that person obviously did
wrong.
Not watch
wrong.
The same movie.
Yeah, that person's just wrong. And
that person
feel,
probably saw.
I feel bad for that person.
Yeah, like they clearly
like, can't
haven't
see
felt
just how delightful this movie is.
Yeah,
like,
it's
you're
that's,
probably.
I feel like that's the word for like every Pixar movie. Just delightful.
And also, like, what a great lead character in Riley, too. Like, this kind of tomboyish girl.
Yeah, I love how they made her play hockey, which is
and
great.
And it's like she's not that gendered or anything. Right. And I just, I don't know.
Riley's
I think they,
also kind of a...
it's an androgynous name. Yeah, yeah. I feel like it's just a nice change for a lot of the characters that we see in Pixar.
And the puberty stuff is, like, there. And you know that it's coming, but it's also, like, not
But it's
important.
Not gendered. It's just, like, well, I would say the most, like, obviously gendered thing is when the boy
the boyfriend.
At the very end.
That's a great joke.
I mean, it's still very, like, heteronormative. But we can get there when we get there.
Whatever, Pixar.
Savior, male savior complex.
Yeah. I just like how she has, like, teen vampire, like, novel island at the end. Like, that's so relatable, though. Like, I was a twihard back in the day.
Oh, my God. I was, too. I had a t-shirt.
I wrote a really good spoof of Twilight
on my old Macintosh computer that was...
Oh, my.
Yeah, I lost it. I really wish I could find it. I'm sure it's on a hard drive somewhere.
Oh, we gotta find it.
I'll find it over break and bring it back.
Erica, you're going to be, like, really famous one day, and you're going to have...
And then
Danielle
I'm going to whip that out.
And we're going to be like...
And then, no, you're going to whip it out. And then be like, Erica made this!
And I'll be like, fine, I'll sign it, fine.
How do I remember those people?
Who are they?
Nobody. Yeah. All right, well, I think we're at parting thoughts, guys. Or does anyone have
Oh,
any?
Really?
Well,
wow, that was so fast. This movie is so good. Just go watch it if you haven't watched this movie.
Yeah. Also, San Francisco is a wonderful city, and I think they do a wonderful job
just
animating
like shadow
it. Everyone
over San Francisco.
And I was like, guys, it's great. First of all, you don't stay in Fisherman's Wharf when you go to San Francisco.
This is it. We are getting into personal attacks.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, either way, I think that Disney does a very good job at animating settings, and I think that this was a great example of doing a very good job of animating settings.
And when they wanted to make it seem dark, they made it seem dark.
Which was most of the time. Like, the street she lived on was, like, really sketchy.
It was like a foggy alley.
Those are everywhere. Except for
the fog.
I think it was really funny how the dad worked for a startup.
Yeah, what was it called again? Brang or something?
Brang.
Just like one of those startups that you're like, man, they're going to get 1 year of venture capital and then like fail.
Which is depressing.
Like delivery startups are kind of like in the...
How do you they know it's are. A you weren't... Startup? You weren't.
It's called
wait,
Brang.
You weren't here. No, guys,
like,
remember
Brang.
My stat?
Nothing to
like
me.
Brought.
Podcast
like
intertextual reference. The venture capital and the delivery food services from our last taste test.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. No, Brang means nothing.
It's all coming full circle.
It's like we're all on every one of these podcasts.
All right. We really just have no other friends, is what's going on. But yeah, I would say this is a wonderful movie to watch for a really thoughtful plot, a really interesting and I think tasteful look at mental illness and also just like emotions of adjustment.
Oh, yeah.
And. Really strong characters all around. I don't think there's a single character that's underdeveloped. And just great attention to detail.
Disgust, maybe.
And visual gags.
Disgust, maybe.
Yeah.
I would say disgust.
Yeah.
Because and she's probably, even, like we were talking about, like, there are, like, very specific shapes and very specific things to, like, connote. It was just like, oh, she's just, like, an annoying girl. She's just, like, an annoying, like, teenage girl. And you're all right, guys.
Yeah.
I get
you phoned that one in. We get
I do think they do a really great job of, like you said, Erica, like, highlighting how important every emotion is. Because, disgust is, like, disgust keeps you safe and, like, you know, normal and keeps you...
And popular.
And popular.
Yeah, and popular.
And happy.
Yeah.
I'm never happier unless I'm disgusted.
That sentence isn't exactly where I was.
I just said yeah. I don't know why I said yeah. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's fine.
This is such a good movie.
It's a great, extremely important movie that I think is really good for kids to see, especially.
I think it is a mainstay of the Pixar canon.
Yeah. Oh,
alongside
for sure.
Wall-E.
This is my favorite Pixar movie.
I disagree because it's Wall-E, but that's okay.
Also, not Wall-E. No.
Okay.
I think
we're getting into another argument.
It's my top three are Wall-E or Wall-E, Inside Out, and Up, and I cannot determine the order.
I would have to look at a list of Pixar movies to think about my favorite ones.
I can
safely say it's not Cars or Cars 2.
Cars 1 is okay.
Cars
2 is
two, guys.
Bad.
Cars 2 was just...
Cars 2 was just...
Not great. Not great. All right.
Well, they got back on track with Inside Out.
They did.
They did.
I hope they don't ruin it with a sequel. It's like my biggest fear.
Are they doing Inside Out 2?
I don't know.
They're doing a Toy Story 4 and then Incredibles 2.
I want Incredibles 2. I don't want Toy Story 4.
Well, because, like, at the end of Incredibles, they so clearly foreshadowed and, like, set up
I'm ready
for
Edna.
Next one.
I'm
like,
ready for Edna. Bring her back.
And then they waited, like, 18 years. Like,
yeah.
No
so capes. Annoying. Yeah. No capes! The Incredibles is okay. Discussion for another podcast. This can go on our gauntlet series, Danielle.
It will. It really will. Well, you know, okay. Anyway, you liked this podcast.
Wait, no, we need to do the ranking thing.
Oh, right.
And you didn't give your final thoughts.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is a mess.
I think it's a I've forgotten how to podcast. Whatever. No, I think it's a really great movie. It's very touching. It's very, like, I don't know. They just hit all the great, like, emotional points, I think. And you just, like, feel it. You know? It's like one of those, totally. Like, you're definitely feeling it.
Pixar movie. Yeah. They are so good at pulling at your heartstrings. Mm-hmm. Oh, it hurts.
Ugh. All right. What number do you think this movie is? Also, it is one below Chinatown, which is just a weird coincidence.
Right. Maybe IMDb rigged it so right? that would happen.
They're like, look, lol.
This movie deserves to be, like, top 25.
15.
Okay, you're giving me a weird... Daniel's giving me a weird look, so I'm gonna...
Oh, God, is it low?
I'm gonna say, like, 47.
Oh. Okay, this movie is very new. It's 123.
Oh my God.
That's a travesty.
Okay, it's new.
That's a travesty.
I don't care.
IMDb users.
What was the name of that man? Jay Welch? He better get on it.
Shawshank is one. So.
But also. So are you saying we need to wait 20 years?
And then people will recognize how good Inside Out is?
Exactly.
Okay. We're just so ahead of the
trend. It's just like,
Lion King is like 50.
Yeah, but like,
Lion King was also made in 1995.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I don't know how the ranking system works. I'm very blind. Well,
it's just like people. It's just people being like,
what I'm doing this weekend.
We're just all going to start spamming.
Just make 10 different IMDb accounts.
We can make real change, listeners.
Yeah, and also the Untouchables is on this list.
So low.
I think it's just because it's new. Because when a newer movie is on the list, it's much lower. I think Imitation Game is actually much higher than I was expecting. I think it's in the 50s. But
switch them.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
I'll call up the IMDb people.
Yeah.
And then we'll just...
Just let them know. Our very influential podcast.
The people will demand.
The three people who listen to this podcast. Hello, mom. Erica's mom.
Hi, mom. I found out she listens to them on her walks. I hope you're enjoying your walk, mom. Say hi to Buddy for me.
Don't get lost in one of the weird alleys in San Francisco.
We live right outside the city. Mom, enjoy your suburban walk.
Don't take that weird exit to Oakland.
That's so bad. The movie Inside Out has this one visual of an on-ramp to Oakland that I accidentally took when I was trying to go to the mall to see my friend for watching The Revenant at 9:50 at night, and you can't get off until you're in Oakland, and it was horrible.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Erica.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. It's not related to anything.
She's here now. We're good.
Yeah, we're all good.
All right.
And so was this movie.
Yes. Nice segue.
You're learning fast.
Yeah, so if you liked this podcast or any other voice podcast, subscribe to the Voice Podcast Network on iTunes, preferably iTunes. Preferably give us a nice, comment and a 5-star rating.
Currently, the only comments are from me and Joe Paul.
No, they're not. They're people we don't know who listen to our podcast.
Oh, right. I mean, from two random people.
Two randos.
I'm looking that up.
Yeah, so subscribe, give us a rating, give us a comment, just do all the nice things. Also, follow Georgetown Voice on Twitter at GTown Voice. Follow Halftime on Twitter at HalftimeGU. You can follow me on Twitter for more just like really witty things, that I say.
I agree. I'm great.
But at DNHewitt96, you can follow Daniel at...
You have to guess again.
I don't have to guess. Okay, Dr. Varg01.
Yeah, that's it. DRVARG01.
Wow, really nice.
Yeah, in the last one, Daniel had a field day trying to figure out what my...
I forgot how to spell your name.
You can follow me for mostly articles about healthcare. Yeah.
You can follow Erica at Erica A. Bullock 1.
I don't have any numbers.
Erica A. Bullock on Twitter.
I'm not related to Sandra Bullock.
Correct.
God damn it.
Yeah, my Twitter is pretty inactive, but I'll do it.
My Twitter is unfortunately extremely active.
Same. Sometimes it's just the thought that I had. I was like, that's a gem. It wasn't a gem.
Probably wasn't.
Probably wasn't.
And Twitter is great because you get like immediate verification that none of your thoughts were actually important. Everyone's like, ignore. Like, and you're like, I'm not interested.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's it. We're good.
Yeah.
We're out. Goodbye.
Bye, guys. Bye. This has been great.